RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Stakes racing around the country yesterday, the New Zealand sales at Karaka on our doorstep. Always plenty to talk to Joe McKinnon about on a Sunday morning. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Warren. Yes, there is plenty happening both here in Australia and, of course, across in New Zealand. The Karaka sales getting underway today. Much anticipation, as there usually is, for this big sale, but welcoming crowds back for the first time in a number of years after COVID. So it will be most interesting to see how the activity plays out.
Yes, and always love to find out what you've been up to outside of your normal day-to-day work. And the art silo tour around Victoria is very very prevalent and a real tourist attraction through the western districts. And you've been doing a little bit of silo touring yourself through New South Wales around Quirindi. Just tell us a little bit about what's been happening this week.
Yeah, it's been many months in the making. West Australian artist Peter Ryan was commissioned to paint the old grain silos in the main street of Quirindi, the township near where I live on the farm. But the artwork was officially launched on Friday night with a spectacular Illuminart art show, Warren. Illuminart is a mob responsible for lighting up places like the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the Opera House, you know, those amazing light shows you see there. Well, it came to Quirindi, so Peter Ryan's work is quite extraordinary, and with the light show added to the whole mix, it made for quite a spectacle on Friday night. We had hundreds and hundreds of locals turn out for the opening. The main street was closed off for a big street party. It was a really, really special night. And for me, I think it felt almost spiritual when the famous didgeridoo player Mark Atkins was playing the didgeridoo in a special performance just on sunset, and the lights and the stormy skies all combining with the sound of the didgeridoo made it quite a goosebump moment looking at those silos with the big kangaroos painted on them and various other images that depict this region, which is one of the richest agricultural areas in Australia.
And if anyone's after a bit more of a view of how that might have unfolded, have a look at Joe McKinnon's social media outlets, and that vision is just as Joe described it, and it does a goosebump type of moment. And it was a goosebump type of moment, I suppose, for the Coolmore team yesterday, Joe, with Justify taking out his first stakes race with the Witten Stakes. And gee, he's got a hype on him as a stallion, and early signs are that hype's going to be justified.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Learning to Fly could not have been more impressive in winning yesterday, bringing up Justify's first stakes winner in Australia, a milestone for this beautiful stallion who's got it all before him. A horse trained by Annabelle Meesham. And from Coolmore, we've got Tom Moore joining us this morning. He's across in New Zealand for the sales, but he's been kind enough to take a few minutes out of his morning to chat with us on the program. How are you, Tom?
Yeah, good morning, Joe. Good chat here. Such exciting news for us.
Yes, and Tom, tell us about the win yesterday of this youngster by Justify and the meaning of that for the stallion in Coolmore.
Well, it's huge. We went into the race confident, knowing that we had a quality filly on our hands. Impressed Annabelle Neesham the whole way through. She's always been highly regarded by her and thought of as one of her better two-year-olds. But an 1,100 metre race, first time out as a two-year-old, early in the season, for a big scopey filly like her, regardless of how much ability we know she has, it's always going to be a hard ask up against those sharp two-year-old fillies with race experience. So to go out there and win in the manner that she did was a huge effort, knowing that this filly is only going to get better and better as she gets over a little bit further and a bit more race experience. So there's a lot to be excited by and a big future for a very well-bred filly.
And that's been expected of her right from the outset, really, of her public life. When she stepped through the English Easter sales ring and was purchased for $900,000. So plenty of backing early on for her, quite literally.
Well, she's a stunning filly. She's absolutely gorgeous with a impeccable pedigree. She's out of Ennis Hill herself, was a very high-class two-year-old, won a group race early in the season of her two-year-old year, and a daughter of Hipstone Lyre, so a full sister to one of the stallions on our roster, Acrobat. It's a fast family, and it's a family that's only getting better and better in time. But, yeah, she was always highly regarded on the farm. She was always thought to be one of our better adjusted buyers, and it's no secret that we supported him with some very top-class mares, both here and in America. Looks like it's justified at the moment, the way he started off, both here and up there. He's a pretty exciting stallion of the future.
And what a banner horse to have potentially now in the Golden Slipper. It's possible she will go that way, of course. How exciting would that be?
Well, it'd be hugely exciting. Annabelle is keen to head that way, everything's going well, but we know we've got a high-class filly on our hands. So she's done the job now already. She's a group winner at two on debut. She's in the market for the Golden Slipper, so she'll get her chance to go that way. But if she doesn't end up there, we know we've got a very exciting three-year-old for next season with races like the Flight Stakes and the Thousand Guineas in mind. She's a high-class filly. She could win whatever's thrown at her.
Yeah. And Tom, Justify didn't return to Australia for covering duties last year. He was given a hiatus from shuttling by Coolmore, but has produced 234 live foals in the Southern Hemisphere, with buyers going up to $1 million for his first crop progeny. So quite amazing stats there. What is the latest with the stallion himself?
Well, he's huge cropper up in America, commanding quite a high fee up there. So he's working hard up there in the Northern Hemisphere season, and it was thought that was the best thing for the horse to have a year off last year. It's not to say that he won't be back in the future, and if he keeps going the way that he's already started here, then I'm sure we'll see him again in Australia, and I'm sure he'd be well received by breeders again. He was supported by some top class mares all the way through in his three seasons here in Australia, and there's some of his second crop yearlings selling here starting today at the New Zealand Bloodstock Karaka yearling sale. So I'm sure they'll be well regarded now, and maybe their prices have just gone up after yesterday.
Oh, no doubt. They're sort of the results you want around yearling sales time for sure for an emerging stallion. As you mentioned earlier in the discussion, John Magnier in particular has been extremely supportive of this horse, hasn't he?
I think it's no secret the amount of faith that Coolmore and John Magner in particular have in this stallion. Obviously, he's the best son of Scat Daddy, and Scat Daddy is a stallion that was very special to Coolmore. Unfortunately, passed away before we probably got to see the very best of him. But a freakish stallion who died at a relatively young age, but was still managed to achieve so much as a stallion. So yeah, his best son, Nonain Evers, doing an incredible job. Another son of Scat Daddy up in Europe, one of the best stallions in Europe at the moment, and Justify himself, probably the most exciting young sire in America at the moment. So, yeah, it's a sireline that we have a lot of faith in and that we want to tap into and continue to support for a long time.
Yeah, and the rest of the Coolmore roster, some glittering names there. So You Think has been having a great time on the racetrack over the past season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he gets winners every Saturday in Melbourne and Sydney. He's an incredibly consistent stallion, he's a versatile stallion, and he only keeps getting better and better as well. Just pipped at the line for champion sire last year, but we're pretty confident that he's got a champion sire title in him in the future. He's got some very highly, highly encouraging young horses coming through the system, and big crops of yearlings, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, coming through as well. So he's covering better mares than he ever has before, and he's finally being recognised in the sale ring as well. They're selling incredibly well.
And Coolmore, it's not just active as sellers at sales, but also buyers. Tom Magnier, who heads up Coolmore Australia, of course, has been so proactive in the sales ring for a number of years now at that really elite level. He keeps snaring these wonderfully pedigreed horses.
Yeah, well, they're great supporters of the industry in general, and big buyers at the sales, and they keep reinvesting in quality stock, and that'll continue to happen for a long time to come. We're very lucky to secure Home Affairs in the first crop of going out to source the best colts in the land, and he was the most popular first season sire in Australia last year, covering over 200 mares at a fee of 100,000. So we're here at Karaka now trying to find the next one, and we bought a few nice horses at Magic Millions, and we'll keep looking for quality stock to try and replenish our stocks and add more quality horses to our roster in the future.
Yeah. And your experience of the yearling sales so far, are the Gold Coast sales off to a flyer as they usually are, but some extraordinary results posted there. What are your feelings for the rest of the yearling sales season, both in New Zealand and Australia?
Well, it started off incredibly well. Our industry is in such a great position, so it's no surprise to see the market stack up like it did. If we could have foreseen the market to hold up as well as it was last year, it's still as strong as it was last year, I'm sure we would have taken it. But it's a reflection of the strength of the industry as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. And, well, a flood emergency hasn't been able to dampen the spirits too much over there at Karaka, has it?
It's raining as we speak. I know a few people have been flooded out, but I don't think that'll stop anyone. It's a consistent source of quality horses, so I'm sure people will bid with confidence, despite the rain.
Yeah, no doubt. And Tom, you're going well in the job, young man. How long have you been with Coolmore now for?
It must be coming up 6 years, but plus 2 years in Ireland, so they're a great company to work for. So I'm just very lucky.
Yeah, you sure are, and being able to work with the level of bloodstock and standard that you do must be something you pinch yourself about every day. I know I would.
Well, you take clients down to look at Spacelink and Piero and Home Affairs, some of the greats off the track, and then you bring over horses like Walking Bassett and Justify and Churchill, household names with top-class pedigrees, stallions that will leave their mark on the industry for a long time, so... Yeah, to be able to work with quality stock like that is a great privilege.
Yeah. Have you got a favourite around the farm? Is there one particular head that hangs over the barn door that you walk up to pat when you're around the stables?
It's hard to go past Home Affairs. I think he's one of the most exciting young stallions in Australia for a long, long time. He's got all the credentials for sire success. He's got a great temperament. He's an incredible horse to work with. He's very fertile. He was fast. I think he's going to be an important stallion in the Australian breeding landscape for a long time to come. Just got a great feeling about him.
Yeah. Well, that's great, Tom. Well said this morning. Thanks for taking the time. And enjoy the sales season. There'll be lots of twists and turns to come yet.
It's always good to talk to you, Joe. It's always for a good reason. So... Hopefully we talk to you over the coming weeks as the season progresses and the race gets better and better.
All right, Tom. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Joe. Have a good day.
All right. That's Tom Moore there from Coolmore. Warren, a young bloodstock man doing a good job.
He's living a good life at the moment, isn't he, Joe? And yeah, just the next crop of Justifiers going under the hammer, and he's developing such a profile internationally as a stallion. Just the Tom's words there, you know, it's not like he's going to be guaranteed to be shuttling back here regularly. So the Justifiers might become quite rare down here in terms of being able to buy them through the sales. I'm sure they'll be very well sought after in this round.
Yeah, well, they considered postponing the start of the New Zealand sales, didn't they? Due to flood ravaging Auckland, but it hasn't stopped the sale from proceeding today as planned. Something like 260 millimetres of rain lashed New Zealand's biggest city. Quite amazing. The city's international airport was flooded, with incoming flights diverted to Christchurch or cancelled altogether.
Yeah, we're going to catch up with Jesse Gower in about half an hour or so and just get the latest prior to the sales kicking off. But hopefully... Well, the hospitality will certainly be well patronised. We know that. They look after their clients very well over there in New Zealand. Hopefully all safe for the horses to travel and inspections to go ahead. I did see some comments from a couple of people in the days leading into the sales, and inspections could have been going on for quite a while, but on-course inspections just became very difficult at Karaka in the last day or so, just with the amount of rain that was there. So very much treading water, so to speak, Joe, talking in terms that probably a little bit ironic.
Yes, and Andrew Seabrook, he's absolutely under the pump this morning. Otherwise, we would have got him on the show, but he had commitments around the grounds this morning at the same time as this segment. But he confirmed that more than 100 Australian trainers, agents and owners have made the trip across the Tasman to Karaka this year. And there's also strong representation from trainers and agents that connected with Hong Kong and Singapore racing as well. So it will unquestionably be a very successful sale despite all the rain.
And looking at the results from yesterday, Joe, talking about that winner of Learning to Fly, obviously a daughter of Justify, an important victory from a pedigree point of view, but she was such a strong winner on debut. Got to agree with everything Tom said, that her future looks really bright, particularly as a three-year-old. And taking out the boys' division, the Canterbury, was a Russian Revolution colt out of Heatherley, who was a very fast mare in the Barry and Mitch Griffiths colours. So the elite pedigrees were to the fore in the two-year-old lead-ups to the slipper yesterday.
Yeah, I fondly remember that mare, Heatherley. She's a daughter of Blonra, of course. Big, dark brown, almost black mare, Heatherley. Such a genuine, honest, high-class performer herself, wasn't she? And, yes, her colt son, Red Resistance, don't you love the name, by Russian Revolution, winning the Canterbury yesterday for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott. A very exciting prospect indeed.
How impressed were you with Learning to Fly?
Oh, super impressed. Yeah, it was a dominant win, as you say. How could you fault it? It's only going to get better, this horse, with experience and miles in the leg. So exciting times ahead for that horse, should it make it towards the Golden Slipper.
Chatting to Tom Moore about some of the favourite stallions, and you mentioned So You Think. How's Think Champagne, your own So You Think, settling into life with you?
Yes, as he mentioned So You Think, I thought, oh, how lucky am I to be able to look at a son of So You Think every day myself. He's got the typical So You Think head and big bushy forelock too. He's a beautiful natured horse. He's still very restricted. I'm rehabbing him from a tendon injury, which the prognosis is he will make a full recovery from. In fact, so much so that Betts told the trainer he could return to racing potentially, but they've decided to retire him. And he's in my hands now, so he's confined to a yard and stable for another 4 weeks probably before I can then put him out in a bigger paddock. But he'll have 6 to 12 months off, Warren, to make a full recovery. He's only a six-year-old, so plenty of time ahead for him. But it's been a good opportunity to have him at close quarters every day and do a lot of groundwork with him and handling and get to know his personality and his temperament. So all going well so far. No signs of soreness or swelling whatsoever.
Looking forward to following his progress, Joe, and looking forward to chatting next week, and we'll be able to look back on the results of the Karaka sales over there in New Zealand.
Good on you, Warren. Look forward to talking to you then. Have a great week.